I'm going to start here in 1 Kings 22, starting with verse 10, and I'm going to read through verse 38, and I'm going to show you something that some of you may have never seen in the Word. I remember the first time I read 1 Kings 22, 10 through 38, I had to read that several times because this was a different God than I was familiar with. I mean, when the story really came through to me, I mean, just like whenever somebody says, do you think God would send an evil spirit to torment you? Yeah, but the average person, you know, that never had this kind of teaching will say, oh, no, no. God, He loves me. He would never send an evil spirit to torment me. But I can show you where He'd done that many times in the Word. But I want to show you something here that when a king is disobedient and does not obey God, I'm going to show you one of the things God does to take this king out. Now, He's merciful. He's kind. But He will take this man out. And I'm going to show you in 1 Kings 22, starting with verse 10, I want to show you a story of how a disobedient king that was working for God, God had put him in office, he was a king, but he would not do what God told him to do. And so I'm going to show you, starting with verse 10, what happened. It says, King Ahab of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah, dressed in their royal robes, were sitting on thrones at the threshing floor near the gate of Samaria. All of Ahab's prophets were prophesying there in front of them. He had a whole bunch of prophets. Now, you notice the way these boys dress in their royal robes, and they're literally having a party. You know, this is kind of the way things are done in Washington today. You know, they have their parties and everything. In fact, Billy and his wife went with me here, this couple on the front row. They went with me to Washington this last year, and we walked all over the place. We went to the Congress and the Senate and all kinds of places, and when we would walk into one of the offices, they'd say, what can we help you with? I said, I come here to repent to God for not doing what God told me to do for you boys. And they didn't know what I was saying. I said, God told me to pray diligently for the leaders in office. I have not prayed diligently, so now I've taken a week of my life and I've come to Washington, D.C., and I'm going to pray for everybody in this office, including the congressman or the senator and each one of you men and women. Now then, I'm going to pray. And that's what we did. We prayed in every office that we went to. And of course, this young lady here, she was the one that only a few years ago, when the doctor told her she only had a few years left to live and her heart was wore out. So Billy and her came here to a healing school, and I think it was about the third one that maybe, I don't remember how many exactly, but we prayed for her anyway. And then when she went back and the doctor checked her, he couldn't believe she didn't have a repaired heart. She had a new one. And we serve an awesome Jesus, don't we, girl? And so this girl, which couldn't walk across the street after she got the new heart, her and her husband come to Washington, and this girl literally walked me down in Washington, you know. I looked at the Lord, and I said, Lord, I got cheated. She's got a younger heart than I do out of all. What's the deal here, Lord? Is He a good God? He's a good God. So it's a wonderful what happens when you step into the world of faith and you get your sins repented of and you pray and believe God, isn't it? Yeah. And you've just felt great ever since, haven't you? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, praise the Lord. Aren't we glad that God's forgiving? Aren't we glad He is the healer? We are very glad. But now I'm going to show you what happens when a king doesn't do what he says. In verse 11 it says, one of them, one of the prophets, Zedekiah, son of Kenah, made some iron horns and proclaimed, this is what the Lord says. Now, this is dangerous when you make these kind of statements. This is what the Lord says. With these horns you will gore the Armenians to death. This man's hearing from someone, and he's repeating what he's hearing. Let's go to verse 12 and 13. All the other prophets agreed. Yes, they said, go up to Ramoth Gilead and be victorious, for the Lord will give you victory. Everything you hear that says the Lord is not from the Lord. Some of it can be from an evil spirit. So you have to be careful. Meanwhile, the messengers who went to get Micah said to him, look, all the prophets are promising victory for the king. Be sure that you agree with them and promise success. Does that sound like the way some of us do things today? We don't care what God really says. If these prophets over here are saying this is the way it is, in other words, if you're in a church like I was all my life, a good denominational church, but they didn't believe in healing, don't believe them, because God is the healer. You know, so I was deceived, although I was in a good Southern Baptist church, many different ones, none of them believed in the healing power of Jesus. None of them. Now, you might have been in a church similar, because there's a lot of churches out there that don't believe that Jesus is a healer. Well, when you get a unique, or God calls up a real, like this guy, this one real prophet here, and the rest of them are not. So the deceiving prophets, they want the one unique prophet that God really called out to agree with them. So when they come to me, they want me to agree that God's not the healer. Well, let me tell you, I don't agree with them no more. I've seen him heal too many thousands of people. You know, so I don't believe this. So, but anyway, they try to tell him to agree with them. And so let's see what he says in verse 14 and 15. But Micah replied, as surely as the Lord lives, I will say only what the Lord tells me to say. Now then, today, where do I and how do I hear from God on a regular basis? The Word. You're absolutely right. In other words, I can hear from God anytime I want to. All I got to do is go in there and open my Bible and start reading, and I'm hearing from God. Is that right? Amen. Yeah, I don't have to hear an audible voice. Now, it's wonderful when He does talk to you audibly. I love that. You know, Lord, I love when You talk to me in an audible voice. But I can hear from God anytime I want to. I can hear from Him all day long just getting His Word, right, son? Yeah, so it ain't no problem to hear from God. It says, when Micah arrived before the king and asked him, Micah, should we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or not? And Micah replied, go right ahead. The Lord will give the king a glorious victory. Now then, there's just something in my voice that doesn't ring true to the king. You know, I mean, you know, I didn't go in there and say, thus saith the Lord. You know, I mean, I was asked a question. He said, go right ahead. The Lord will give the king a glorious victory. Let's see what he said. Next verse. But the king replied sharply, how many times must I demand that you speak only the truth when you speak for the Lord? You know, we don't have very many men in Washington today in higher up offices that would even know if it was God or not. When's the last time you heard somebody in Washington call in a man of God to ask his counsel about what we're going to do? We've almost completely quit that, haven't we? We've quit praying. In fact, I just got to throw this in. This is so unique. This last week was Veterans Day. Some of y'all know that? There was flags all over the place. You drive down the street, you find some people that knew it was Veterans Day. Well, the schools, my little granddaughter, the one that God raised from the dead, Caitlin, she's in the sixth grade, and so she brought a form home. Granddaddy, you were in the military. They want to honor all military men on Veterans Day, and we want you to come and have dinner with us at school Thursday at 11:15. Okay, so I filled out the stuff, saying what branch of the service I was in, how long I was in, and all that stuff. And then Cheryl and I, we go to have dinner with her at 11:15. So we get to the school at 11. We're thinking this is plenty of time. We walk in. And first of all, I walk in and the doors are all locked. You know, there's one door I finally found that was open. We go into a totally glassed-in place that everything's locked except here's a door going into an office that's all glass. It's open, so we go through this and we get in, and the woman says, I need a picture ID of both of you before you can go into the cafeteria. I said, well, okay, here. So I tuck out my bell phone, tuck out my driver's license, and I handed it to her, and Cheryl said, well, I didn't bring my purse, so I don't have any identification. All we did was come up to school to have dinner with our granddaughter. I said, well, that's no problem. She's my wife, you know, and I have my identification. So she's the grandmother, I'm the husband, and she's my wife. And they say, we're sorry, but that's not good enough. I said, you can't be serious. No. So I, and then I said, you know, is there anybody in this place a Christian? My first question, I said, this is what happens when we quit serving God. This is when people stop praying. I said, when I was a kid and we prayed in school, we read the Bible in school, there was no locks on the doors. You could walk in and out anywhere you wanted to. I said, now then, I said, is there anybody in this place a Christian? They said, well, we'll have to get the principal. I said, well, go get him and bring him up here. And so they went and got the principal, and he came up there, and he said, well, I'm sorry, sir, but if your wife don't have her ID, Cheryl said, well, I just won't go to lunch. She said, I won't go to lunch. I'll just go back home. I said, no, our granddaughter wants us here for lunch today, and you're going in there. We're going in there one way or the other. In other words, if I have to break the stupid door down, we're going in there. You know, we're going in there. And so he said, well, I'll have to get some. And this is the principal of this crazy school, the sixth grade. He said, I'll have to get higher approval. So he goes and calls somebody, and finally they come back and say, okay, you know, she can go in. And so I thought to myself, isn't this something? When we get away from God, when we take God out of school, when we tell our children they can't pray in school no more, look what happens. Even Christian people can't get into school to have a lunch with their granddaughter. How far is it going to have to go before we get back to God? I stand in awe at what I'm seeing happen in this country today and how wicked this country is going. When we left there, we had to check out. We had to have doors open for us so we could, electric locks. I thought to myself, I know what that electric material costs to secure one of these places. As I walked out and I looked, there's not a single child outside. Everything is totally locked up. I thought there's only one place I've ever been in my life that's more secure than this school, and it's the prisons I went to preach in. We have our children locked up in a place that's like a prison. And why? It's all because, don't say nothing about Jesus here. You're liable to offend somebody. Well, let me tell you, if Jesus offends you, get over it. I'm going to offend you.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Jesus' Healthcare Plan, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.